All right, let's kick it up. It's the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Disco Dan Franceschi in for the Masters watcher, Sammy McKee.
He's got the Masters flu.
Any update? Do we know what's going on?
Oh, he's got IV bags, I've heard.
I forget Sammy.
Oh, Sammy, the Masters.
The Masters, like Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger was one under par through one. He is one under par through three still. Right. DeChambeau, 7 under.
7 under. Is he done?
He's done now.
Yeah. What a round.
I know.
And I didn't pick him.
I think he'll blow up. He's
do you?
Case.
Good.
Yeah,
absolutely. Good.
Corey Connors inside the top 10.
2 under.
Let's go, boys.
2 under.
Canadian, 2 under.
There we go. Here we go. Plenty to get into. We're going to be joined momentarily by Elliot Friedman. Talk of the league right now, the Coyotes, Utah. We'll get up to speed on that. Hanifin signs a brand new contract.
What is that, $9 million
Vegas.
Per? What do you get?
7.35
It was seven.
God, that's a bargain.
7.35
times
over
eight. We've got
so cheap.
NHLPA poll out where Sid dominates in probably the best category of them all.
Being good.
So we'll get into that. In the meantime, I wanted to ask you guys during commercial break if you remember. Maybe you weren't born, but I did a Hockey Central at Noon show with Doug McLean and Darren Millard, and the roof caved in.
Pardon me?
Yes. Yeah, the roof fell.
Okay.
Yeah. And I only bring this up because as I sit here with my notes and my computer, I noticed this screw in this washer, and I don't know where they're from, but like every once in a while, if you find me looking up at the ceiling...
Yeah.
Just give me a heads up if something drops, okay?
Okay, hopefully that's the last of it. Reminds me of like, when I was in 11th grade math, I brought a screwdriver and I would take one screw from the room every day. So by the end of the year, was just in shambles. Really enjoyable.
We're going to get into Elliot, of course, with the Coyotes news. But let's go to you first, JB. And just, you know, it for me, it's like nothing. And then hair on fire.
Yeah. I know. Unbelievable turn. Hold on. Before I answer that, because I'm going to answer that, we also forgot to mention O.J. Simpson passed away. That's
okay.
Big news.
All right.
Would you like to comment on it, or is
no.
it political?
No, I got
it.
No comment.
No comment.
Let's preserve the integrity of OJ. Where do you think we're going with that conversation?
There's nothing good that's going to come from that.
Yeah, it's a lot of jokes. What were we talking about? Oh, yes, the Arizona thing. That was left field. Absolute left field. Like, no, they're going to bid in this auction. We're doing everything we can. Years of just down the road. Oh, they're going to move in 9 days. And you think it's like you don't hear this from 10 insiders and then have it be like, oh, it's not happening. They're actually going to stay in Arizona. They're gone.
It's just, for me, it's like, we all know the way the league conducts their business when it comes to what the fans know, what the media knows. They're strictly on a you need to know. Yeah. And right now you don't need to know, right? That's the way they conduct their business.
For sure.
Right?
But it does make you skeptical of everything they say.
So what happened in the last week here that went from, we're looking to see ya.
Yeah.
Gone.
You tell me. What did happen? Like, is it basically been they've just been this is the plan all along, and now it's happening in a week, and so now we have to find out. Because people have to kind of know now,
Was it the mayor of Scottsdale that shut that potential site down? And it was like,
help.
Well, we're out of sand.
Yeah.
In the desert.
which is tough to do. I think that might have been part of it, but not really to me. Like, I just think they didn't want to say anything until they knew they had as many pieces in place as possible. And it really is at the point where if they're going to move a week from today, people have to be notified. Plans have to be made. So now it's starting to come out that this is real.
See,
are there Coyotes in Salt Lake City?
People have to move.
Find that out for me, will you? Yeah, okay.
That is the least of their worries when it comes to...
Well, letting people know is at least.
Well, who needs to know?
I don't know. Like the secretary needs to know if she has to move her whole family to a different state.
Like I said, you're on a need to know basis, and right now you don't need to know.
Borny Coyotes are common in Utah.
Are they going to just be the Salt Lake City Yotes?
I don't know.
What
don't
if
know.
They?
I don't know.
Do you think they made some level of assurance to, and forgive me, I don't remember the Coyotes owner, his name
Alex
off the top.
Marullo.
Alex Marullo.
Did they make, you think there's assurances there that, hey, first kick of the can, we're going to do this, but don't worry, you'll get your franchise back. It just will be as an expansion team. Like, let's go away for a little bit.
Why would you do that? Why? Unless something was in part of the deal that the owner had something on the NHL for maybe pushing you out.
Well, I don't.
Like, was there, and we'll ask Elliot, but
yeah.
there is some belief that Alex had some sort of, he had something over the NHL where he could sue them, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yep. Right? Yeah, that does seem relevant. Like, you can't, the owners own the team, and presumably, like, Donald Sterling in the NBA did something that they deemed egregious and unacceptable conduct, and you got to sell your team. You know, he got a bunch of money for that. I guess if, can it not be similar here where the league says, you can't provide us a place to play, so, like, how do you sue the league when they say, You can't have a team here if you can't put us in an NHL ring.
So the belief is that you're selling the team, right?
But you're forcing them to sell it.
You are, and there's relocation fees, and there's, right? So who sets that up, right? Who decides what that fee would be? Like, what, usually you sell something to somebody, you give me the money, I give you this.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works in the NHL because there's the league going, okay, what's in it for me?
The league, does that league mean the other owners?
Yes. The other owners somehow are profiting from this.
Yeah.
Right? So you assume it's in a relocation fee because you just can't pick up and sell your team. You need a board of approval by the other owner saying, yes, you can move your team there.
So, like, Forbes estimates of the value of the Arizona Coyotes, I don't remember offhand, totally guessing, like $600 million or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a low number.
But so, the feeling is hopefully Elliot will join us soon and verify it.
He'll be on.
$1 billion.
So the league gives Marullo $1 billion for his $600
million? No. Oh. Ryan Smith in Utah gives Marullo $1 billion.
Okay.
And then, with that, he gets to pay off his debt, which could be in the vicinity of
$1 billion.
Oh. $300 million.
Okay,
and I don't know what he's in for. $300 million, maybe to begin with, could end up profiting $300 or $400 million out of the deal.
That's nice. So yeah, tough to sue someone who makes you $300 million.
Speaking of getting away with murder,
yeah. See, aren't you glad I brought it up? You got to land that tremendous joke.
I was the question I thought of, and I've thought about this a long time, and yesterday I was on in the evening, and I posed this question. What is the fascination with Arizona?
It's
general?
The size of the market.
Is it as simple as that?
It's the largest television market in the United States.
I am in more belief than ever, it's a fantastic market.
Mm. You Arizona. Believe it's a fantastic one. I said it's a big one. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. I think it could be a home run.
What's
for the
changed
league.
Your mind on this?
That it's a great sports town.
Okay.
And the one fault in 20 plus years is just you never found the right owner.
No.
And you never found the right facility.
Buddy, they started in an NBA building without hockey sight lines.
And they ended in a goofy minor college rink.
How do you do that then? How do you give a franchise to a place that doesn't have a facility? I guess they thought Glendale was coming and they didn't anticipate
eventually
the location stinking.
It's up to an ownership group to build one.
So, yeah. And I guess that's what Glendale was.
And they never did. And Glendale they got for free and it was like pulling teeth to get people to go there.
I lived there and I was a hockey fan and I went to 3 games in 3 years because it was an hour and 20 minute drive through Phoenix at rush hour. It's a bad experience.
That location that they just listed was going to go on auction and still will is a home run.
Nice piece of land.
It's gorgeous. It's between Phoenix and Scottsdale, downtown Phoenix and 10 minutes from Scottsdale. I have no doubt in my mind if they built it, it would have been spectacular.
All right.
All right, let's welcome in Elliot Friedman to add to this story in terms of, Elliot, we're just speaking moments ago how it felt like for 20 years we've been talking about this market and needing to leave and not leaving. And then in a blink of an eye, everybody's got him going to Utah. So maybe just give us what you know or the latest or, you know, what's still out there to truly dive into.
Well, Nick, I think that they are working hard to get something done. There's no guarantees. There's a lot of egos involved, and there's a lot of lawyers involved, and that can be a bad and volatile combination. But they're definitely working at it, and there's a will to do it and a want to do it. And I think there is definitely... I don't know if framework is the right word, but I'm going to use it. I think there is a framework of a deal there that everybody is prepared to do. You just have to paper it and get it done. Now, I think this, you know, I was in Vancouver last night. The Coyotes played. They didn't say anything. They were really, like, basically they told the media none of these guys are going to talk about it. But the sense I really got just from being around them, Nick, is that there was a lot of shock. I don't think they believed that this was going to happen this quickly. I think I really got the sense that they thought that they were going to go to the auction and see what came out of it. And over the last couple of weeks, I think two things came up. Number one was what happens if they don't win it? And number two is, even if they do win it, they weren't going to be there until the fall of 2027 at the earliest. And they didn't want that anymore. There was a lot of pressure from the Players Association. And there was a lot of pressure from other owners. Eventually, you reach a point where you have to concede this doesn't work. And I don't know if it's going to happen, Nick, but I do think that they want to get it done for next week, because I think they want to meet with the players while they're still there. You know, when a season ends, guys, as you know, you stay for a couple of days, you have a team party, and then everybody kind of goes off in their own way. And I think they want to do it while most of the team is still around.
So, Elliot, what does this mean for the city of Phoenix and hockey in the future? And how about for Salt Lake City and hockey? Like, this is a permanent fix. They're going to stay. I guess, where are they going to play? Can you give us the answer on the two cities' relationship to their new teams or no teams?
Sure, Justin. You know, right now they're going to play in the Delta Center, which is where the Jazz play. I think they have to do a bit of retrofitting there for hockey to do some work. However, basically, they're getting a new arena. The bid process now for the Olympics is a little different than it used to be. They give you preferred bids, and Salt Lake City is the preferred bidder. And off the top of my head, I can't remember if it's 2030 or 2034. I think it's 2030, the Winter Olympics. And as part of that, they're going to get a new arena. So that's why Salt Lake was coming into the league at some point. They wanted this owner, Ryan Smith, in the league, and they knew they were getting a new arena eventually. So they'll be in this one for a little bit, and then we'll see. As for Arizona, part of this, and this is one of the reasons that, look, there's two things here they've sold Alex Morello on. One, I think he's getting $1 billion for his team, so he'll be made whole and then some. And number two, there's going to be an exclusive window, I believe, for 5 years of him to put a new team in Arizona. Now, it doesn't mean he can just sit around for 5 years and hold on to it. From what I understand, it's written in a certain way that there's certain benchmarks or things he has to accomplish, or else he could lose it. But if he can go out and he can get a new building and he can get construction done and he hits those targets, he's going to have 5 years to bring the team back. So, like, the NHL is not abandoning Phoenix. They are going back, or Arizona. They're going back to that market at some point. It's just a matter of how and who it's with.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, talking to Arizona Coyotes. So, Alex Morello, we just mentioned, could be upwards of $1 billion. He pays his debt. It's a nice chunk of change. But this guy has not been able to convince anybody in Arizona that, and he had ample time to get this thing done.
Yep.
Why would the league still want to give him first rights of refusal? This guy does not have a great reputation. He didn't pay his bills, Elliot. Why do they feel loyal to this guy to give him a first crack at another team? What did he have on the NHL that they wouldn't open this up to a lot more billionaires out there?
Nick, I don't think it's about what they owe him. I think it's more on what did he have. And I don't think it's pictures of anyone, if that's what you're asking. I think what it is they wanted to get this done as smoothly as possible. Alex Morillo was willing to fight them. He was willing to make this very difficult on them. He was willing to go to court. That's who he is. He's going to fight you. That's his, that's how he built his business, not being a shrinking violent, not being somebody who could be easily intimidated. He's a fighter. And the easiest way to get this done in terms of as quickly as possible and not get tied up in court or anything like that was to make sure, A, he was okay with the payout, which he apparently is, and B, there is a level of him, I understand, that wants to prove that he can do this. He doesn't like that people think that he can't do it, even though there's good reason for that. He doesn't like it, and I think he wants the opportunity, at least the league feels he wants the opportunity to prove it. So that's what you have to do. You have to, like Nick, sometimes in a negotiation you have the hammer and sometimes you don't. And in this case, Morillo had a hammer. He could make this really difficult on the NHL. So he gets a bit of a better deal. Like, the one thing I do think is there are people in the league who think that he's getting away with too sweet a deal. But he had the ability to hold this up and make this difficult, and they didn't want that. I will say this too, Nick and Justin. It's really obvious to me that there's an anger. I mean, you can see it on social media from the Coyotes fans. Like people didn't want to talk last night. You know, to be honest, Nick, when I went down to the dressing room after the game, I didn't even want to stand near anyone from Arizona because I don't want anyone to think, like, these people are giving me information. But like, you can just see how mad some people are. They're concerned about, you know, the staff members, their jobs. I mean, you know how much the trainers, the equipment staff, all those people who work so hard, they're not as protected as the players and coaches. You know, how this is going to affect families. Like, they're angry. And there's a certain feeling of, and I think it's a very fair feeling, that it's not acceptable to stand out there and say, okay, we're going to get this auction done and we're going to build a new arena and we're going to save hockey in Arizona. And then when this story breaks, suddenly you don't say anything. Like the people there yesterday, you know, I tried to ask, have you guys heard anything? And I didn't get the impression that anybody did. And so you can't do that. You have to, I think that's where the real anger internally is.
They all got played.
They all got played. You're right. They all got played. And they're mad about it.
So, you know, so much of this feels like it's driven by frustration. They can't get it done, impatience. But the whole Mullet Arena thing and the way players were feeling about this, I can't help but wonder about Marty Walsh, who, you know, came in and really made strong statements about how this just can't continue. He seemed to be a good advocate for the players. How much of this is driven by the players and Marty Walsh saying we're just sick of whatever this temp situation is?
I don't think it hurt. And I think you're right about one thing, Justin. I definitely feel the players believe that Walsh was a good advocate for them. Like, you know, he made his feelings heard. He said his piece. But there wasn't really much they could do. And even now the players are saying, hey, you know, what are my rights? And they're being told not a lot, really. You know, their contracts are going to be purchased as part of the sale. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if some players say they want to be traded or they give Smith a chance to speak to them. We'll see where that goes. But really, this came down to, from a business point of view, it couldn't continue. Like, it just couldn't continue this way. And that's why I think that while it helped what Walsh did and the players appreciated what Walsh did, it became more about this mullet situation becoming untenable.
From a revenue point of view, big picture, 100% the right move.
Yep.
That's it.
But is this, if you're Ryan Walsh, Ryan Smith, do you want this to happen this way with no lead up in branding, no ability to get the rink set up the way you want it, like the amount of money he's going to spend for this, is this the right way? Will he be happy with how this is happening?
Listen, it's an exclusive group. There's only 32 of these things. You take them when you can get them.
Is that it?
100%.
Well, I think he would have preferred an expansion team. He's on record as saying that. He would have preferred it. But they wanted him in the league, too. You know, I remember a few years ago when we reported that Walsh had first met with Bettman. You know, Nick, is in particular, you've done the job that I do. There are times that people want things out there. And I just remember the way that Walsh came across at the time, there were people who wanted everyone to know that this guy was interested in the NHL and the NHL was interested in him, and this is a good thing. You know, he's seen as a very good owner in NBA circles. He's a very smart guy. He really wanted the NHL. People wanted him in the league. And, you know, I think it just came down to he wants it. They wanted it. Would he have preferred to do an expansion team? Yes. But there was a problem they needed to solve, and he could solve it. And it became like I think he's very happy. I think he's very eager. I think he's happy to prove what he can do. But it is no question that right now he was the right guy in the right place at the right time, and people wanted him in the league.
I agree with you, Elliot, that Arizona is very much on the plans for the future here. And I would say 3 to 5 years, we will hear hockey going back there.
I'm with you. You know, it's for one thing, players like playing there. They love living in Arizona.
Yeah,
it's a great place to live. You know, number two, they've got a minor hockey program that is turning out Hall of Fame level players, and that's important. It's a big TV market. They'll go back. I'm with you. And, you know, there was ever anything serious, if anything at all, with Matt Ishbia, who's the current owner of the Suns. But I find it hard to believe that at some point after this is all over, there isn't going to be a conversation with him. If, assuming Morello can't pull this off, there isn't going to be a conversation with him about, okay, how do we get all in bed together here? How do we turn this into a big Pauly Morris or whatever they call it relationship?
So then Houston and Atlanta, and we're just going to have 100 teams? We're good with 100 teams?
No. We're going to have 100 teams all south of the border.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm a Canadian right now and I'm watching Utah over anything in Canada that we have to offer, I think it's kind of a sad day for Canadians too.
It is, Nick, but it is. And like, as a guy who grew up watching the Nordiques and the Canadians and would love to see that again, my question is, can it really work with two teams in the province of Quebec? And I would love to have someone prove me wrong. I just, that's what I think the issue is. Do they really think it can work in the soon-to-be $100 million salary cap NHL? That's my question. And I hope someone can prove the doubters wrong. But, you know, the other thing, too, is, and I've said this a lot, the NFL has 32 teams in the U.S. The NBA has, 31 in the U.S. Major League Baseball is 29-1. The NHL is 25-7. And the NHL believes there's room for more, and that's why you're going to see it. Justin, I don't know what number we're going to go to here. If it's going to be 34, I know there's some people predicting it's going to be 36.
Elliot, there's not enough good players.
I'm not convinced of that yet, but I can see 34. I can. I don't think that's out of the question.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And regardless, if you think there's enough talent to produce top-rated pro hockey players, I don't think it matters to them.
I was too late, Kip. I missed my window.
Yeah, you did, buddy.
Oh, well.
You did. All right, Elliot, we're going to let you go. We'll see you a little later on tonight on our telecast, Sportsnet Ontario, Leafs and Devils, along with the very talented and muscular David Amber.
The steroid-aided David Amber.
Oh, my gosh. You can't put that out publicly.
Why do you think he has so much energy?
All right. Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks,
Friedman. See you guys. Speak to you soon.
Elliot Friedman. So, listen, spent the majority of my broadcasting career, like, thinking about the players, supporting the players, players' rights and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, I get how difficult this could be for some of the players. But if you recently bought a home there or got a golf membership lately there,
yeah,
you're dumb. You're just dumb. That was a dumb decision.
I see your point.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear.
You're not saying in general if you do that, you're dumb. You're saying it's Arizona. Have you not been aware of the circumstances around the team?
100%. You're playing in a building that looks like something from, like, that would be men's league top performance.
Yeah.
Would come out of that building.
Yeah.
Where would you have joined Arizona and thinking, I'm going to buy a home here? And
if they buy a home, you can sell it, same market.
So I don't want to hear that. Yeah. I don't want to hear a player say, I just bought a home there.
Yeah.
Like, I got no tears for you. Okay. This team should have been moved 10 years ago.
Yeah. And they're not, you know, I know it's not the point necessarily, but they're not moving you to Nowheresville. Salt Lake City in the winter is sunny and beautiful, and it's a lovely place to live. They got hockey. It's going to be a great hockey town.
Your team got traded to Utah.
You got dealt.
But
I am curious to know.
It's a guaranteed contract.
Like, what happens with no trade clauses? Because a lot of players would have had Arizona on their list.
You didn't get traded.
Maybe they play in Salt Lake, though.
You didn't get traded.
I know, but I'm saying other people have Arizona on their no trade list. Maybe they play in Salt Lake City. You know, maybe guys will.
I think they'd probably honor.
Chance to revisit.
I think they'd honor that part. Yeah. That's not that hard of a decision.
Figure out some of that stuff.
You know? But.
Salt Lake.
It's the right decision for the league.
It is the right decision.
When it's all said and done.
Let's be honest. This should have been done 2 years ago.
You're going to play
this
in front of.
This has been embarrassing.
15,000 people. There's mountains there. Skiing.
Golf. And you can golf year round.
You're good.
You'll
be just fine.
Maybe not year round. I have felt, you know, they're the Lenny and the Simpsons, don't let them see how I live, or, you know, don't tell people how I live sort of thing. I felt like that about Mullet Arena. Like, don't let NFL fans see that one of our teams plays here. Like, ugh. Mm-hmm. It's not been a point of pride. You want to do game time?
Let her rip.
Okay, we're going to have Yele do game time.
Let's go. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Play responsibly. All right.
It's game time.
Oh, I love it. Yes, Darren.
Great intro by Disco.
10 games in the National Hockey League tonight. All right, I had a few that stood out and just kind of scoping up through the different lines and what's going on. I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to take the Leafs. I do like the Leafs -1.5 here against the Devils. I think Matthews is hunting. They're chasing 70. They're motivated and eager to try and get it. He's had a ton of success against them, as you pointed out, Borny, earlier in the show. +125, -1.5. I like the Toronto Maple Leafs there.
That would be the first time someone has ever picked Leafs -1.5 on this show.
Really?
Sam, he doesn't have he's afraid of jinxing it.
Okay.
Sort of thing.
Well, I get that. He's a true hardcore fan at heart. I get that. And Matthews, by the way, to have 2 goals or more in this game, +325. Not a ton of juice for, essentially banking for 2 goals.
Yeah,
that's, Yeah,
well,
but
particularly when you know he's hunting.
Could
for
get
it.
Four.
Yeah. if you're the books, you're like, we're going to move that number down a bit.
You remember, it's funny, because we looked at that shot total from the last, I think it was 11, 12 games, whatever, and he's got 62.
Yeah, it's
absurd number.
The last 11 games, 62 shots he has. He's averaging about six shots a game.
The other game I was looking at, Capitals on the road at Buffalo. Really like Washington in this spot. I don't know. Ovi's just, he's hitting other gear. He's been hot, staying hot.
He got 30, man.
It's crazy. Think about where he was in November, December, and he's at 30 now on the season. 14 goals in the last 20 games. I just think that they're playing for something. There's stakes there for them.
And they're dogs.
I like them to win on the road. And my last one that I wanted to circle, Lightning. Tampa at home. They've won 6 of their last 8. Vasilevsky started to look like the old Vasilevsky. I like the form that he's shown in the last month or so. Tampa at home. They are playing, just to confirm, Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Tampa at home against Ottawa. Those are the three that I sort of circled on the board tonight for game time. And that, of course, was brought to you by Bet365.
Thank you, sir.
And just a reminder, though, that this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365, as always.
Yes, sir. All right.
What do you got? Break?
Break.
We go to break.
We got so much stuff to get to.
Tons. Including a crazy Western Conference that got a little crazier with the Oilers 5-1 victory over Vegas, and the Canucks take one on the chin against Salt Lake City Coyotes. That sounds so wrong.
It's too many words.
It's just so bad. So what does that mean? Right?
I don't know. Yeah.
What does that mean? We're going to figure it all out when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Disco Dan. All right, Western Conference. All we got was more confused last night.
Well said.
But I will say this. As far as looking at the Oilers' win last night over Vegas, above all, standings or no standings, a convincing win without Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. I got to think there's more confidence right now in that room just for that very reason than maybe anything we've seen all season long out of the Oilers.
Yeah, you think of them, I would say, as much as any team that, boy, you know, they rely on this one guy to drive everything, and to have Vegas come in and just get worked over the way they did was, yeah, I would say somewhat heartening for Oilers fans to see that there's some more juice past the top guy there. Now,
we look at Vegas, like, not a great time to get cold here.
Ice cold.
There is still a lot of meat in the bone here to finish their season off. They lost 3 in a row.
Yeah, and, you know, they're fairly good teams. The Coyotes, Salt Lake City Coyotes beat them once too, but...
Like, they're giving life. They're giving some life, have they not, to the St. Louis Blues?
Well, the Blues, yeah, the Blues could get to 95 points. Vegas is sitting on 92 with 4 games left. So, yeah, I mean, maybe there's a shred of hope there. Vegas does have to play Colorado, Minnesota. So, you know, maybe they'll lose a couple.
The other thing that kind of stands out for me watching the Oilers get ready for the playoffs is how good is Ekholm.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, he almost killed that poor goalie yesterday.
I think there's an appreciation for him. There's no question league-wide. But he's, for me... I'm looking at him in a much different light than I saw in Nashville, where he's almost got Zdeno Chara presence for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, see, because yes. Chara would fight you, right? And the other day we saw that Ekholm's not doing that.
Well, yeah, listen, I mean, the game's changed enough where I think he's big enough, strong enough.
Yeah.
He can hit.
He's competitive.
Like, there's enough of a streak in him that you better keep your head up against him. No, he cannot scare you physically that way like Chara. But I think he has that presence for me on the blue line that this is the guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I've said this for a long time, but Edmonton's chase of Vancouver is as real as ever, with Vancouver giving up a point last night. Oilers 4 points back with two games in hand. So obviously they can catch them. They also play Vancouver a couple days from now on Hockey Night in Canada, if I'm not mistaken.
And that's for winning the division.
Essentially. You know, if Edmonton were to win that and to narrow that gap to 2 points and then also have two games in hand, including games, two games against Arizona and one against San Jose, you got to believe Edmonton's walking away with it at that point. Mm-hmm. So HNIC Saturday night, Edmonton has a chance to say the division after all this long slog is ours. What's crazy to me is who are they going to play in round one right now? If season ends today, they play Los Angeles. If they catch Vancouver, it could be Nashville. It could be Vegas. They could stay where they are. It could be Vegas. They could play any number of teams right now. There's just nothing decided.
And I get as well that no Petrangelo last night, and they've got Mark Stone. We don't really know for sure whether or not he's got a chance to.
Is his spleen better?
Right. I don't know. Your guess is.
Spleens heal quickly.
I've not heard.
Magically show up for game one? Magically?
Spleen have, that would be possible.
But even if there's no guarantee once you get these guys back that you can just find your mojo still. Hill didn't look that great, especially on the wraparound goal of Holloway's. It's like, who's your goalie? Thompson? Yeah. Like, Hill won the Stanley Cup, but I think there's people still questioning who's your goalie in
there's
Vegas.
Big questions. I mean, you got, you know, one of the best decors in the NHL, if not the best. So you think you can insulate either guy pretty well, but yeah, Vegas has got to sort it out. I still say though, you don't want to play him in playoffs. You don't want Hurdle to start getting, you know, find his stride. You don't want Stone to come back. You don't want Hanifin to be at his best and Petrangelo to come back. It could all come together in a scary way still. So yeah, lots to be determined on where Vegas ends up, but certainly a little concerning that they're not winning more games than they are.
Of all the big contenders, or paraphrase, contenders, are they the one that maybe doesn't concern you, or gives you the least amount of pause because we've seen them do it?
I would say it's like, very I think that's much part like of Tampa it, right? Bay for me.
Yeah,
where it's like,
yeah,
this team might come in a wild card spot. They don't care. I mean, they're still Tampa Bay. They still have great players. They can still beat you any night, well coached. So yeah, I think that's a reasonable way to look at it.
As far as one of 10 games tonight, Detroit and Pittsburgh, that comes on the news that Andrew Kopp has been diagnosed with a broken cheekbone and will not play
that's
against Pittsburgh.
For them, man.
Like, that's your typical game seven type of player.
Yeah.
Like, that one stings.
Detroit-Pittsburgh is monstrous tonight. Just a monstrous game. Both teams 1 point behind the Washington Capitals for that final playoff spot, and both with four games remaining. It is, you lose tonight and you're done. Season's on the line. And no Cop, so that is a big one. Islanders have kind of pulled themselves out of the fight, Kippy. NHL playoff odds via Money Puck have the Islanders with an 83.6% chance of making it.
Patrick Roy.
Patty. Okay. Wah.
Can we not give him a ton of credit here?
I'll give him credit for a couple things. Underlying numbers did change when he came in. Their defensive metrics got better. That's a tangible change that they saw. The other thing is that when they almost peed down their leg and let the season get away from them with a couple of losses, he didn't go in front of the microphone and act like John Tortorella and say, these guys don't know what it takes to win. They got to play different now. I'm going to sit my captain down. He just said, I actually liked our game tonight. And I think that let them kind of stay in the fight a little bit and still believe.
All right, we got some sound also for him. Peter Laviolette, who had a very big issue with the New York Islanders on Dobson and his collision with Zibanejad.
Can I weigh in this before we hear the coach?
You can.
But it was Adam Pellick. There was two.
Oh, it was Adam Pellick. Sorry.
Zibanejad, Dobson on Troche.
Correct. Okay.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Just a quick reminder as well that this segment of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Hyundai. All right, let's go.
We're off to Laviolette. You want to go to him first?
Yeah, let's go to Peter Laviolette.
He came back at the end from that vicious hit. Yeah, he came back.
Vicious.
That vicious shoulder elbow to the head. Watch it.
So you think it was intentional that it wasn't a collision?
I do. What about the Dobbs? Vicious from behind. Both.
All right, let's pick it up with Patrick Waugh's reaction to Vicious.
Patrick, Peter Laviolette just said that he felt the collision between Pelech and Zibanejad was an intentional...
Accidental, you're right.
But he said intentional by Pelech.
No, it was accidental. The referee was in a really good position to see it. He saw it. I was more afraid that Pelech might get hurt on that one. I mean, he's the one that hit Pelech. I mean, it was the opposite, I think, that what happened. I mean... But the same thing happened in Pittsburgh with the referee. So, I mean, it was totally accidental. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, and I think Kelly was in a really good position to see everything, and he made it clear right away that it was accidental. So, but sometimes frustration make you say things.
Sometimes frustration make you say things.
It's true. I think we're all leaning towards Patrick Waugh on this.
Buddy, it was absolutely accidental. You know, like, mm-hmm. If one guy did run into one guy, fine, make the case that it's Zibanejad. But, yeah, both guys are looking somewhere totally different. It's not at all in the history of the Islanders defenseman, Pelech. And I know people are like, Islanders homer, watch the head. He doesn't see him coming.
Yeah.
He's looking completely the other way.
The guy
yeah.
runs into his shoulder.
If anything, honestly, the second one is more egregious.
Oh, it's like, that's way worse. It's brutal.
We are closing in on, like, silly season where, like, there's going to be accusations.
I love
that
this. Two competitive really just coaches.
Doesn't look remotely with what we saw yet. The posturing now from here on in between coaches and referees or the league. This is when it gets interesting. This is where these guys think that they also have to make their money, these head coaches.
Oh, yeah, they're working the media. This is really good. I loved Waugh interrupting the question. Laviolette said he thought that it was accidental. Is it accidental?
Accidental, you're right.
Yeah, accidental, you're right, yeah. But, you know, we've talked for years about the way the coaches try to portray their teams as the underdog or being wronged by the refs. They're trying to push everything in their favor. But that was a big, big game. I mean, big game for the Islanders who, you know, now up to 87 points, probably under the Carolina Hurricanes, which isn't great. But, you know, they've got Montreal tonight and can really, you know, get to 91 points, and you probably got it. 4 points away.
All right. We want to get into the NHLPA players poll as well. But before we get into that, did you guys catch Joel Quenneville at all? He appeared on the Cam and Strick podcast where he spoke candidly about the handling of the Kyle Beach situation. Did you catch any of it at all, JB?
No, I didn't, but I have read quotes.
Disco, how about you?
Saw a little bit of it, gave it a brief listen, didn't listen to it in its entirety. It's interesting. Like, he tries to show that he's culpable. Like, he understands the culpability that he bears for his role and his presence there during that time, but yet he sort of pleads ignorance when it comes to knowing all the particulars or tries to distance himself enough to say, well, I knew, but I didn't really know.
Yeah.
And I think that's where then you got to ask yourself, okay, well, what's genuine and what's not? How much of what he's telling us is truthful versus is he sort of spinning a narrative here because he wants to get back into the league? I think that's where it's tricky, and it's going to be sort of discretionary depending on who you ask for their opinion.
And you're bang on because that's, I did listen to it, and I just wondered, I don't know what Joel was trying to accomplish through it, because like you, Disco, I got more questions that you try to pick and choose which ones you wanted to say and which ones you didn't, and on a number of occasions, it's like, I don't want to talk about that. Well, okay, then we're all here to guess what happened, and that's all we've been left with. Since they closed this investigation, is we really know jack squat here still, and you are telling me you want to pick and choose what you want to say and what you don't want to say, and all you've done is just leave us as confused as ever. And to your point, if it's just all about trying to rehabilitate your image or get back in, you got to come a little bit more truthful than that, I think. I don't think Joel did himself any favors.
No, I think I understand the like desire that like if you don't get out there and talk and be, you know, front facing, yeah. It's not going to happen. They're not going to pull you out of the shadows and say, now you're allowed back. So I get the attempt to kind of be out there again. But you're right that there needs to be some sort of airing of what's gone on here, and it'll probably stir up some bad emotions and then people won't like it, but at least you start down the path of healing in some way. Right now, it's still a lot of questions. So
there was one answer in particular, and I don't know, he was sort of sharing an anecdote, but then it sort of morphed into just kind of him imparting his view of what the front office was at that time. And he referred to them as the firm. The firm is what he called them. And I feel like that was sort of by design of trying to say, hey, see, I was just as much out of the loop.
An outsider.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I was an outcast and I didn't have my fingerprints on it in the way that people might assume I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting point that he made. Sort of went out of his way. It morphed from a story into him just talking about how, yeah, they were we all used to call them the firm because they did their own thing. And I think that sort of paints enough of a picture as to some of the motivation behind him appearing and talking.
So you took the hit, right? You took the hit for the firm.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help, right, moving forward. I don't think that's part of the healing process. That just revisits a lot of unanswered questions, which, again, I don't think helps him.
Nope.
Anyways, all right, let's move on. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, the big winners, I guess, in the NHL players poll, which we kind of like because this is your peers. This is not, you know, a bunch of writers who go to bed early like they do when they vote for the awards.
But, hey, there's significant information in here. If you want to need to win one game, who's the forward you want on your team? They still have Crosby second. Like, it's McDavid one. Crosby's still second among NHL players, who almost 12% of guys say, give me Sid, one game. Guy's 36. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
I kind of get wanting the fastest, most talented player, I guess. I mean, there's so many factors into wanting a guy for game seven.
Nathan McKinnon?
I know.
He doesn't get enough love, man.
But I don't think there's a higher compliment than the most complete player in the league still is.
They said Sid.
A guy in his late 30s.
They said he's the most complete player in the league.
Number two is interesting. It's Barkov. And I think, I know on your guys' show, he's universally loved because Bukola comes on all the time and talks about how great he is and he doesn't get enough respect. And, and he's right up there as one of the most complete two-way players in the game. I think it's interesting that he's second.
I think it's interesting that Austin Matthews isn't on the list.
100%.
For a guy who, you know, I think you got some stats on here Matthews. So what do you have on Matthews?
Okay, so off the top of my head, I'm just going to pull it up because I had it in here as well. Okay, here's Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews, third in the NHL among forwards in takeaways, third in the NHL among forwards in block shots as well. And then he was fifth in on-ice goal differential with him on the ice.
He's always a top faceoff guy, unbelievable. Too. So funny he's not in the top five. Some Leafs resentment in here, you think, Kip?
To me, Austin's still not a top Selke type of guy, right?
But I mean, McDavid's on the list.
Talking about scoring 70 goals and being one of the best defensive forwards, he's just kind of, you kind of push on scoring goals above defensive responsibilities.
Yeah,
but
the numbers.
I'll tell you what. If Austin really, really wants to change that narrative for next year, beat Barkov in the first round.
Yeah, 100%.
There you go.
Yeah. That list is Crosby, Barkov, Kopitar, McDavid, McKinnon for complete players.
Yeah, and tell you what, that Kopitar is doing everything he can to carry the LA Kings as well.
No kidding.
You know, there's still plenty of juice in that guy.
Yeah, okay, we got best playmaker. Oh, we got to go. We're on TV.
Give me one more.
Okay. Who do you least enjoy playing against but would like to have in your team? Marchand.
Yeah.
Where's Bennett?
Not on their list. Good pick.
Tom Wilson.
Third.
Kachuk. Good pick.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid's number two there. I guess I could.
Really?
Well, he's going to
embarrass you. That's right.
Yeah, me and Petrangelo going, oh boy, as he comes down the neutral.
All right. Our thanks to Joshua Cloak. who joined us in the first hour, and then Elliot Friedman on the latest.
Thanks to Marty Walsh, to Ryan Smith.
Good riddance. Yeah. To Arizona.
See you soon. This isn't goodbye. It's see you later. That's the expression on it.
All right. Hyundai.
Oh, yes. This hour, this segment brought to you by Hyundai. I don't know. We're too late. I'll catch you tomorrow. I'll make it up to
them. We'll make it up to them. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the games.